That first Monday back at work where you might be evaluating the way you're living your life. Perhaps you settled on losing a bit of weight, decluttering your house. Instead of worrying about half-hearted promises to yourself made as the clock was striking midnight, all this week it's your chance to get some tips on detoxing your life. Not in a scary way. This isn't going to be one of those scary things. It's not going to be like a supplement either in a newspaper. But small changes that could make a real difference. Today, it is the turn of Detox Your Body. Here is Alex Newton, who's a chiropractor from Beeston, to give you some support, some advice as well. Alex, thank you very much for coming in.
Good afternoon, Verity.
How was your Christmas and New Year?
Excellent, thank you.
Was it?
Yes, but far too much, yeah, of the naughty things. So we've got to make a stand, haven't we, and start looking to making our bodies healthy again for the new year.
It's funny, isn't it? Because it kind of builds up quite slowly. So, it, you know, into November, into December, as you say, the naughty things build up quite slowly, don't they? Then all of a sudden you get to New Year's Eve and you get to January and you suddenly realise exactly what you've done. The fact that you might have been, you've been eating far too much. You've probably been drinking too much as well. You probably haven't been going to the gym. You haven't been sleeping properly, all of that kind of stuff. And you get to January about now and you think, I mean, it was fun, but I'm feeling a little bit taken aback now.
Yes, but the idea is probably we don't want to go cold turkey on this, because I think, you know, changing everything all of a sudden is A, going to probably make us a bit grumpy, a bit miserable, give us a bit of a headache. So we all might want to sort of have a diet, reduce our smoking, reduce the alcohol content, and get fit and all those sorts of things. But let's do it in a sensible way and in a sustainable way. As you said, small changes to make a big difference. So let's think about the goals that we need for the rest of the year. And to achieve those goals, we've got to do them in a realistic way. If we were to think about our fitness, and perhaps some people may have been going to the gym relatively regularly, but it all sort of tails off a little bit just before Christmas, because we're busy doing that Christmas shopping and things. What's the best way to return to the gym? Really, the thing to think about is not to try and pick up where you left off. After about 2 weeks, your body has literally regressed. Therefore, you can't keep doing that 5 mile run on the treadmill that you were doing before. You need to go back and think about perhaps doing 2 to 3 miles. So don't jump back into the saddle at the same rate that you were before. Think about what you were doing 2 or 3 months previously and go back to that level and then build back up to it nice and gently, because that's going to reduce the risk of developing any muscle strains or back pain or any problems with your ankles, knees, hips and etc.
You're absolutely spot on. I went back to do a spinning class and it was like I've never done a spin class before in my life. I just forgot that level of pain that kind of came with it, and that level of absolute exhaustion. It was totally weird.
Yeah, it is quite frightening, and it is a shock to your body. So think about being really gentle. And if you haven't been to the gym before and you want to start doing that, again, set yourself some realistic goals. Have a word with the gym instructors at your local gym. Get them to set you into a programme. And the idea would be to, perhaps if you've never done anything like that before, do some gentle walking, some cycling, perhaps start swimming, but if you are going to start doing weights and things like that, do lots of repetitions but with very light weights and build it up very slowly. Again, be kind to your body. Don't try and jump in there quickly and do everything you feel that you should be doing, because you are just going to come to a very abrupt halt.
Okay, and as you say, the message behind it is making sure that you can sustain this, so it isn't just a 1 month wonder. It's not just 1 month and then that's it. It's keeping it going beyond January.
Absolutely, yes. And thinking about what you're doing, that's the most important thing. We see quite a lot of patients at the clinic that have been doing an exercise class, perhaps a Pilates class or a yoga class, and we see them with an injury as a result of that. Think about what you're doing while you're doing the exercise. Try not to be distracted with what else is going on in the room or in the class. And think about what muscles you're working on while you're doing that exercise, while you're doing that pose or that stretch. And think about what muscles you should be feeling hurting. And if other muscles are hurting, it may be that you're doing something wrong. And therefore, you need to stop. Ask the instructor and ask them to watch you do the exercise and see what you're doing wrong. But be very careful that you don't start working areas that aren't supposed to be being active during that exercise, because it's likely that your positioning is wrong. And that's the way to minimise risk of trauma and damaging your body, which is then, if you do that, you're going to have to stop for at least 4 to 6 weeks before you can start doing that type of exercise again. And that is really going to bring everything to a halt.
And that's boring as well. That's boring. I managed to get, and you're going to look at me now and frown, so I'm just going to look away from you very briefly. Achilles tendonitis, and I'm going to look back now. And you can't do anything. You can't do anything for 4 to 6 weeks with it. And it is, and that's just from doing an exercise wrongly and then repeating to do it over and over again. And it is the most painful thing. And then to build up your, your exercise regime, and then all of a sudden just have to stop it, like that's quite difficult.
Extremely frustrating.
Yeah.
So the key to those warning signs, obviously, as I said, make sure you're thinking about what you're doing while you're doing them. But also, we do expect there is a degree of recovery after going to the gym. Your legs are going to ache, your calves are going to ache. But what sort of time period should that occur for? Well, most likely is, sensibly, is that before you actually do that exercise again, that area of muscle should stop hurting. So you shouldn't be compounding problem after problem. So, for example, we would suggest maybe 3 days between doing the same exercise class again or the same type of manoeuvring in the gym. And if those muscles haven't recovered before you do that, maybe just leave it the whole week rather than just 3 days.
Okay.
Go and do a different type of exercise. Don't stop altogether. Go and do something else. Perhaps go to a stretch class or go and do some swimming or some gentle walking rather than going back and trying to do that same exercise again that was hurting. Don't build on top of already sore muscles. Give your body time to recover.
When should you worry if a muscle, say for example you went to the gym, how many days afterwards should you start to worry if you're still experiencing pain? Because you would expect some pain the next day.
Absolutely.
But what about kind of beyond that? Where would you start to be concerned?
As I said, normally we would perhaps think about 3 days. Certainly before you want to go and do that exercise again, it is the body's warning sign. If there is pain there, you shouldn't be working that muscle again if you're still in pain when you go back to work that. So leave it a week. Again, if it's still bothering you, there may be some underlying issues that maybe you need addressing by a chiropractor or any other type of physical therapist.
Are you busy at this time of year, into February? Is this a really busy time for you?
It's usually a relatively quiet time, and that's usually for financial reasons and probably as much as anything due to the fact that people haven't quite started doing
the naughty
things yet to upsetting everything. So certainly springtime is much busier when the nights become lighter and people start getting into the gardens and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's an area we ought to think about as well, is that really this time of year, particularly with it being quite mild at the moment, people are wanting to get out into their gardens because the gardens haven't really gone into winter mode yet and they're still growing and sprouting, and it's a good excuse to get out there and perhaps do some pruning and clearing of rubbish. But again, it's all about pacing yourself. Really, if you want to go and do 2 hours of solid digging or solid cutting the lawn or cutting the hedges or whatever, you are setting yourself up for trouble and getting some backache. However, if you use 30-minute intervals and do choose 2 or 3 different types of activities in the garden, you may get 4 hours of work and have a safe back as a result of that.
Alex, stay there for us. You're listening to Alex Newton. 2:23, news headlines will be on the way at 2:30. At the moment, you're here with Alex Newton, who's a chiropractor from Beeston, who is making sure that you don't mess things up in January and February. You mentioned gardening before. Christmas decorations, putting away the Christmas decorations. It's that kind of reaching into the loft, isn't it? The cupboard that I put my Christmas decorations are very high and very kind of difficult to get into, because that's where you put them. You only use them once a year. But you can do stuff to your back, can't you, and to your body through that, just what seems like a simple move but is actually a bit of an overreach.
Absolutely. We've seen a couple of patients before Christmas that have hurt their backs
already
getting the Christmas decorations out of the loft. They've been in the loft and they've been reaching through the loft hatch down to their partners, and we've seen them upset their backs by that. And really, it's a case of really being sensible about what you're doing and thinking about what you're doing. Perhaps sit in the loft and over the hatch and pass them down, and use light weights. Try not to put too many bulky things together. Use small packages and make sure they're not too heavy so that they are manageable to manoeuvre about.
Yeah.
But if you are reaching up to cupboards and those top right-hand corners where you don't go very often, as you say, you don't need to access those particularly regularly through the year, think about how you're going to get up there. Perhaps spend some time getting a chair or a small stepladder that's nice and steady, and then you're not overreaching. And it's better to run up and down those steps 3 or 4 times than try and do it all in one go. Don't forget, you're exercising then just by going up and down on the chair or up and down the steps. So that's going to get those legs working and burn off some calories.
I like that. It's exercise And it is making sure that you're not ruining your back or
That's
anything
right.
like that.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. And then you spring cleaning, which, I mean, you were saying you took your Christmas decorations down yesterday, so now it's a case of just having to clean around it.
It seems to cause a lot of dust and dirt everywhere. And because we're probably not clean for a couple of weeks, because we normally would have done perhaps in that period of time, but because the decorations have been in the way, we haven't been able to do that. So, again, pace yourself, listen to your body, keep your knees bent when you're using the vacuum cleaner, and if you're sweeping, try and sweep, you know, 10 sweeps to the right, 10 sweeps to the left. Try and use it as an exercise, really working the waist and the hips, and obviously thinking about your core stability, thinking about that nasty little word in the middle there, the core strength. It's really important to engage that while you're bending and lifting.
I'd never thought about that. 10 sweeps to the left, 10 sweeps to the right. And you can do it in time with music as well.
Absolutely.
You can build it
make
in.
Make it fun. Make it fun.
Yes,
you'll be surprised how many calories you can burn there.
Yeah, that's so true. And then what about kind of flipping, you know, stuff like flipping mattresses, which is something that you don't do very often, but they're heavy and they're bulky and, you know, it's actually quite a tough thing to do.
It's going to have to be a 2-4 man job, really. You need to have someone to help you do that. It shouldn't be something that should be done alone. And we should do it relatively regularly. About every 6 months, you should be turning your mattress, either turning it anti-clockwise or clockwise, or flipping it over. But make sure that you stand very close to the mattress, you and your partner that's helping you manoeuvre it, and getting good holds on either end of the mattress. Perhaps slide it onto one end, and then manoeuvre it up, and then slide it. All about sliding. Try not to lift the mattress, because that's when you're going to hurt yourself. And obviously, trying to keep your back nice and straight. Engage that core and keep your knees bent while you're doing it, to slide the mattress around rather than trying to lift it. It's really important.
There's that classic, is it still the right rule, when you lift from the knees? Is that right? When you're kind of lifting something off the floor, like a box, you have to make sure that your knees are bent rather and your back is straight, and then when you pick it up, you're lifting up with
absolutely.
The knees.
Absolutely. Try and keep your... have a relatively wide stance. Keep your legs perhaps shoulder width apart. Your legs are going to... take the weight of the lift by using, you've got big thigh muscles, that you should be engaging those muscles, and of course engaging the core by keeping your back nice and straight and tucking your pelvic floor up and tight while you do it, and also sort of holding your breath perhaps while you do it, so as you lift up and then breathe out as you let go there, just to help brace your body against any resistance and pressure that it's going to be subjected to.
It sounds like one of those things that all of these things actually are quite different, aren't they, at first? The first time you do them, they feel a bit odd and they feel a little bit different. But how long would you say before it kind of becomes norm, and before you do this, you know, without even thinking, and you are a little bit more careful about different acts that you're doing?
Well, if we talk about going back to the gym and looking at progression there, which is a really important part of your programme that you should be looking at, we normally suggest that 6 weeks between progressive steps is the best way for the body to sort of recover from the tissue and muscle development that you're going to create by exercising those muscles, because you're sort of tearing muscles when you're exercising them. And it can take up to 6 weeks for those to heal and recover as a result of that. So every 6 weeks, you really need to set yourself a little target of, you're going to change one of the parameters. You're either going to run a bit further, or you're going to lift a little bit heavier, or you're going to do a little bit more of that type of exercise. So changing, but only change one parameter every 6 weeks. Don't try and change everything. Don't try and lift heavier weights and do more repetitions and do them for longer all in one go, because then again you're asking for trouble and excessive amounts of stress and strain on the body.
Alex, thank you very much for coming in. I do appreciate that. Alex Newton there is a chiropractor from Beeston, giving you a few hints and tips on how to make sure that your body's in the best possible nick.